Welcome, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 26th of March 2013 here in the land of the rising sun. Back in the United States, it's still the 25th, and I'm joined on the line by Wayne Walton, a monetary reform activist and an advocate for our money, H-O-U-R money, that is. And more about the OUR program and the OUR community idea can be found at mountainhours.com. That's mtnhours.com. That'll be linked up in the show notes for this interview. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us today on the program.
Thank you for having me on, James.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on to talk about such an extremely important subject. So why don't we come at this from your own perspective? Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this entire idea?
Well, the thing that got me angry about the whole situation is once I found out about, how the bankers finance both sides of military conflicts in addition to political conflicts, and they have usurped all of our institutions so that they no longer represent us. So in order to fix the system, we need to affect our own monetary system that makes humanity sovereign once again.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I think that's the point at which a lot of people want to jump off of the currency system that we've been put on to, really, since our birth, or before then, actually, by the central banking system, because it is what underlies and undergirds this entire military corporate government structure that, unfortunately, has been working against the best interests of the people for, at the very least, the last 100 years in the United States. But let's hone in on this specifically talking about the OUR money idea and talking about different ways of virtual and other types of time barter scripts. Why don't you tell people what this idea is and how it came together?
Well, Paul Glover has been doing this for 20 years in Ithaca, New York. They've had a Ithaca OURS for 20 years. And it's been vetted by the various puppet government establishments. And this is a system which is really simple to affect. If you can imagine, if you went to a flea market and there's no such thing as money, but there was 10 tables with a bunch of different vendors, that those businesses could basically sustain life. One could make food, one could provide shelter. They could do everything that you need to sustain life. Well, if each of those businesses issued their own gift certificate or gift card or coupon, those gift certificates could circulate as money, as an IOU, as an instrument of debt without interest. Producers would be issuing them on their own. Well, rather than doing that as an IOU, we just create that as barter script, and 1 hour is equivalent to 10 Federal Reserve notes. Just to give it a basis, if a business is selling T-shirts for $15, that T-shirt would be 1 hour and a half. So it allows us to quantify it. But at any particular time, unlike a dollar or a yen or a euro, that's a really nebulous term that you can't wrap your hands around. But everybody on the planet knows what an hour is. So it's actually better to use time as money because you know what an hour is, and it's always an hour. Whereas gold and silver and bitcoins and yens and euros, they're fluctuating all over the place, whereas an hour is always an hour. So it gives us something, it gives us a quantifiable thing, just like an inch or a yard or a mile or a pound.
One of the things that I think people don't appreciate enough is something that Paul Grignon points out in his work on money as debt, which is that although people say that, for example, the Federal Reserve creates dollars out of thin air, out of nothing, it's not quite that way. In fact, those dollars are created ultimately on the back of the taxpayer's ability to work and pay that off at some future time, which is really what it's about. It's about people's promise to pay. And I think it's important for people to understand that fundamentally this is what money is in our system. It's a tool or a technology for facilitating exchanges that are backed up by people's labor. So there is a difference, though, in the way that the Federal Reserve does that and the way that the OUR money system does that. Let's talk a little bit about those differences and why people should not be supporting the Federal Reserve system to the extent that it's possible to get around that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. why their system is fraud is, number one, it's a non-producer issuing the IOU. And then on top of that, the non-producer is charging us a fee for our energy. They should be paying us to use our energy. It's completely inverted. Their pieces of paper would have no value whatsoever without us. So in the previous example, I was using this this market where you have all these vendors. All of these vendors are producing something that's necessary to sustain life. The producers are issuing the IOU, and those IOUs are issued without any fees, called interest. So those are the two fundamental flaws, is that you have a parasite issuing a IOU on behalf of the producer and then extracting the fee called interest, or usury or REBA. So that's why usury, interest, and REBA were forbidden for thousands of years by Jews, Muslims, and Christians.
Exactly right. Well, let's talk about your specific example. You're there in Summit County, Colorado, where you have a number of businesses that are participating in this Our Currency program. Let's tell people about the program that you've set up and how it actually functions. What does it look like when someone wants to go out and buy a service through this program?
Well, I think the best place is to kind of start where the money is birthed. So the way we can create it as a credit is Ezra Pound says, for instance, that money is a certificate of work done if it's issued as a credit. So what we do is we establish what is the value that we believe in our community. And we believe in our community, local independent businesses, that's valuable to stay in business under the threats of globalism. There's so many businesses that are running out of business because it's difficult, because the dominant monetary system funds globalism at the destruction of community self-sufficiency. So we want to flip the pyramid. So we value that these businesses exist. So because they already exist, they have already produced the work. So we give them 20 hours just for raising their hand and saying that they'll participate. And we give them, that's equivalent to $200. So that gets them started, and they're, by them simply by raising their hand, we give them pieces of paper. When the business signs them, that's when it becomes money, because we're trying to show people that their value is the money. The same way that earlier that those businesses created the IOUs with their signature, in the same way, they're creating these credits as a recording of work that has already been done. Additionally, whoever recruited that business, whatever individual, even you, for instance, if you knew a local independent business here in Summit County, or any listener, if you know any independent business here in Summit County and you get them to join, you get 10 hours, because that is a certificate of work that you did, because you have a relationship with a local independent business. You recruited them. So by doing this, we set up a self-sufficient, self-funding barter network. These new businesses are listed in a database, and they all just look to each other. Then they can go spend the currency with one another.
Now, the benefits of this on the community level should be apparent to people out there, I hope. But let's spell some of this out there for people who are wondering what this means for the establishment and the fostering of local independent businesses.
Well, yeah, it's the very definition of sovereignty is based upon who controls the money. So we're returning sovereignty to the individual producer, all the way to individual people. And we believe that every human being has unique gifts that they can bring to the table. So it's very empowering in a world that beats people down, that they don't have value, their votes don't matter, their voice doesn't matter, they get educated and their degrees don't matter. Well, we say to them, hey, join our system. You create the money. That's how valuable you are. And it's profoundly beautiful, because it makes them feel really good. In addition to those spiritual ideas, this whole system where you're building a tribe that's independent from the globalist system. So in the event that, you know, they do all these hijinks that are being threatened, we've already set up a barter network, but it's not based upon, you know, bunkers, bullets, and bombshells about a whole lot of fear and just going underground and going off grid. That isn't a solution. That isn't what leaders should be bringing the people toward. Leaders should be bringing people toward a solution of self-sufficiency and community activism. This is a way that we can create, rather than running and fleeing, we develop a community and we build upon bonds. And what's really elegant is, you know, you go to these businesses, and a lot of them, even though you live in a community, you get into habits where you shop at the same place all the time. By doing this, it's you are in alignment already with somebody when you show up, and you, the whole time that you build this, we never talk about politics at all. So there's no divisiveness. There's no good guys, bad guys. It's just us building a community.
Well, you raise an important point, because I think we do have to differentiate between reacting against the system that's been presented to us and creating a different system, and those aren't necessarily the same things. If we simply react against the system, we might just fall into the trap of going into the same types of thinking that created the problem in the first place. So I think this is an important and a very profound idea, but perhaps we should concentrate on some of the concerns that a lot of people have when confronted with this new idea to them, which is usually, I think people will be skeptical, oh, there are only a few dozen businesses in my local area that participate in a local community currency like this. How do you respond to those types of skepticisms and criticisms about this?
Well, as soon as you can sustain life, the number, it becomes kind of irrelevant. You know what I mean? We're building this within the matrix, so to speak. So we go in, and we don't go in, hey, join our currency network, the sky's falling. We go in, hey, we'll get you more customers, and we do free marketing. We make marketing videos for the businesses that join. So rather than doing activism, going, oh, there's these bad guys, and then what happens is we kind of build up the bad guys. Look how much powerful they is. It's like building the Wizard of Oz up when he really has no power without our energy. So what we do is we remove our energy from this system and begin to create a different system that is benevolent and serves our interests. So with respect to the numbers, once you're able to sustain life, that you build an independent network, you get a grocery store, you get restaurants, you get mechanics. Once you have that, the numbers, you know, if you know, let's say, what's the point of having 30 t-shirt shops, for instance? You know what I mean? They're non-essentials. So by doing this, we build this within a paradigm where we're not doing a Chicken Little, sky is falling kind of thing. We're just talking about, hey, go local, buy local, support your local independent system. So we never get into the scary stuff. In Mountain Hours, we currently have 87 businesses. And, you know, there's been days that when I go out and recruit, that we've had sometimes where we recruited, five businesses in an hour or so. Recently, I just finished writing a book called Our Money Jubilee. So I've really dedicated a lot of time to kind of spreading this message that lots of people know that what we're doing. So what's going to happen now is we're going to turn back into the currency and really focus on recruiting. In Ithaca, our system, they have 400 businesses that were using it. And basically, there's a Paul Glover quote, is there was absolutely nothing that they couldn't buy that without their currency. They were able to purchase anything that you can think of, including gasoline and everything else. So the one thing that they couldn't do was do health insurance. So they actually started their own health insurance system with the local currency. And there's actually a way through this voluntary system. This whole thing is a voluntary system. And this is truly profound, is because the right is basically, they're looking for freedom. They want the non-aggression principle, freedom from force. Well, The other thing that in order to have an honest relationship and contract, it needs to be free from fraud. And that's where the usury comes in because it creates unpayable contracts. Well, anyway, the way that we can recruit the left into this voluntary system is we can offer them as a benefit of membership, a voluntary system. We can provide free healthcare with the system. There's a way that you can create newly born currency to pay for free healthcare. So this is a fundamentally, truly powerful thing to unite both the left and the right.
That's so important to understand. Again, this is something that crosses those traditional barriers, and I suppose we could bring in libertarian or other types of ideologies as well. But I think the point is that this is fundamentally, it is voluntary, and it is about the people coming together voluntarily to create the power and to harness the power of money that exists in this tool, really, that is there for the taking, but we have ceded to the central bankers for so long. I suppose another point to all of this is that, of course, I think it is beneficial not to stress the doom and gloom and to stress the fact this is a positive step forward in the creation of a new society. But also, I mean, we can look to examples like in Volos in Greece, where the euro has been drying up and they have had to start to implement this type of system as a kind of backstop, I suppose, to what's going on there. And it has been incredibly successful, and it has prevented people from starving to death. So it is something that can be used in those times of emergency as well. But it's, of course, better to have this in place and to already be building these communities before that collapse occurs. So I'm sure there are many people who are interested in how this applies to their own localities. We have listeners all over the world. Why don't you tell people about some resources that they can look into to find out more information about this idea in general?
Well, the book I was talking about is called Our Money Jubilee. It's $3 on Amazon, and it gets into explaining how to do this and developing a community currency. It's really pretty simple. And anybody that's interested, we've set five of these up ourselves, just myself and my fiance, one in Tampa, one in Long Island, New York, one in Tennessee, and one in Denver. Because they all have the same base denomination of value, these are physical currencies. It's a physical currency. The virtual version of this is called LETS, or Local Exchange Trading System, which is that's a mutual credit system that you were talking about on your show previously. I had seen. The only difference is between a regular mutual credit system is LETS is time denominated. So we can use that time-denominated system that's virtual, and they can be, just like the dominant system is both virtual and physical, we can do the exact same thing. In addition to that is you can add all the technology of convenience and have payments with on your phone via text. So all of these things can be accomplished to make this the dominant monetary system. And what's profoundly unique about the our system is the hours or time is the only commodity that both a rich man and a poor man have equal amounts of. So by harnessing our time, it brings the power of money back under control of human beings. Whereas human beings, the poor man is in control of gold or silver or bitcoins. A common man can't issue a Bitcoin. Only elite people can who have a high computer processing. So by giving that power to issue money away to the elite in the form of gold, silver, or bitcoins, we give our sovereignty away. Whereas this, everybody has time, and by virtue of being able to issue money, it makes us the sovereign once again.
An exceptionally profound and important point. I hope people can really understand just how important that is. And for people who are interested in reading the book and finding out more about this, how can they get their hands on a copy of it?
It's just at Amazon.com, Our Money Jubilee. And it basically gets in the whole problem. The underlying issue is that all of our enforcers are paid with private bank money. So therefore, they will always represent the interests of private bankers. So what we have to do is create our money system and then hire our Jubilee sheriff with that currency. And that Jubilee sheriff will then, he will listen to the people. He will be an advocate for human beings rather than the machine of usury and private bank usurpation.
Excellent. Well, for people who are interested in about yourself and your own work, what's the best website for people to go to?
I'm most active on Facebook. It's Wayne Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N. And you can see my profile picture. It says Jubilee Reset on the button. All of this gets into ancient history and ancient wisdom is when usury is permitted, eventually all of the wealth gets aggregated into the hands of the very few. So to fix that is we need to have a jubilee, forgive our debts, restart under this natural law of economics, which means, for instance, there's nothing in nature that grows exponentially. Like our debts grow exponentially, that's unnatural. It's a sign of unhealth, like a disease or a cancer or a virus. So you don't see trees that are 1,000 feet tall. So because we're not obeying natural law with regard to economics, that is why the whole planet is so messed up. So what we're doing is going back to advocating and obeying a higher law and obeying natural economic law and eliminating this usury parasitism.
All right, Wayne Walton, absolutely fascinating, exceptionally important topic. So I hope people will take a look further into this. And once again, I will provide the links to what we've been talking about in the show notes. So Wayne Walton, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you very much, James.